Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Last week, we brought you part one of a message I preached entitled, The Blood of Jesus. Today, we're bringing you the second half, and in keeping with that theme, our first song is entitled, Let the Blood Speak for Me. It's from Phillips Craig and Dean's CD entitled, Where Strength Begins.
Guilty as charged, I stand, got here by my own hand. I've no defense, the evidence is clear. Left to my own design, I thought the world was mine, but all I found were chains that bound me here. I can't deny I'm lost in sin. I could plead my own case, but I would not win. The only hope I see are the stains of Calvary. Blood speak for me. My heart was a prison cell. My sin I knew all too well. I'm condemned to face this empty place inside. Held captive by self. No argument, I confess. No pardon for so much foolish pride. I can't deny I'm lost in sin. I could plead my own case, but I would not win. The only hope I see are the stains of Calvary. So I let the blood speak. Blood says I am whole. Blood says I am clean. All is forgiven. I've been set free. So let the blood speak for me.
Alright, this next song is from a project entitled Top of My Lungs by Phillips Craig and Dean. The name of the song is Because of That Blood.
Earn your way, hey, that's a lesson that we're taught. But I know things eternal can't be sold and can't be bought. Amazing grace. It's something I could never hold. And I know love and mercy are outside of my control. But I'm reminded of a ransom paid beyond my worth. On a hill outside the city where heaven kissed the earth. Because of that blood, because of that tree, because of that mercy. by faith that God will give me strength to make it each and every day. For we are lost without a Savior to save us from ourselves. For it's only by the grace of God that we can live to tell. Hey, because of that blood, because of that tree, because of that mercy pouring over me, because of that grace, I've been set free. Because of you, Jesus, I have been redeemed. Yeah. Who of us can say that we are worthy of the blood of Jesus? Because of that blood, because of that tree, because of that mercy, Lord, it's pouring over me. Because of that grace, I feel so free. Because of you, Jesus, I have been redeemed. Because of that grace, I feel so free. Thank you, Lord. Hey. Because of that blood.
I want to ask you today, are you the friend of God? Can you say in truth that you know in your heart, in utter sincerity and with full assurance, that your relationship with God is where it should be, and that God really counts you as His friend? The only way that anyone can make that claim is based on the blood of Jesus. Just as the Hebrew nation passed through the Red Sea from slavery to freedom, after God parted the waters for them, so also you can pass through the blood of Jesus from sin to salvation. And just as God destroyed their enemies, the armies of Pharaoh who tried to pursue them through the Red Sea to capture them, God can stop the enemies of your soul from following you through the blood of Jesus. The key is to stay covered by the atoning work of Calvary, which is what Jesus did for you and I on the cross. If you're not there and you'd like to be there, then believe and obey the gospel. You know, a lot of folks will tell you to believe the gospel, but it's important to believe and obey. In fact, the scripture indicates that belief without obedience is dead. The Bible calls belief without obedience faith without works. And the Bible says in the epistle of James that faith without works is dead. You need to believe and obey the gospel. What is the gospel, you say? Well, for a simple summary of the gospel itself, please read in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. And if you want to know, what do you mean by obey the gospel? How does one obey the gospel? Well, the all-important initial steps of obeying the gospel are summarized very simply. You can read this in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, which in its full name is the Book of the Acts of the Apostles. There, read in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, how to repent of your sins, be water baptized into a family of believers by being baptized in water in Jesus' name, and about receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of God's Spirit. Now, today on our broadcast, in order to help you with the understanding of this connection between the blood of Jesus and this great salvation that we enjoy, I want to play back the continuation of the message that I delivered to Christian Apostolic Church Sunday night, January 4th, 2009. You're going to enjoy this and be blessed by it. Here we go.
Folks, it comes down to this. Any part of your life where you stand on your own efforts or your own hang-ups or your own emotional baggage or your own strength or your own traditions or your own ideas is sinking sand. at some point, if you're ever going to let God do for you the salvation he's working to do in you, you've got to let go of all that stuff and say, on Christ the solid rock I stand. Because all of the ground is sinking sand. Romans chapter 3, verse 25 says, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. But the Greek behind that word propitiation, that when I read it to you in the New International Version was translated as atonement, that word there in Greek is, and I hope I'm pronouncing this somewhere close to right, hilasterion. And that word, according to Dr. Strong, means an expiatory place or thing. That is an atoning victim. Or specifically, it was also a reference to the lid on the Ark of the Covenant in the temple. And it is translated in the Bible as mercy seat and as propitiation. I went to a commentary, and there are several good ones, and I don't regard anything that they say as being gospel truth, but you can learn a lot from them, and you got to eat the meat and spit out the bones sometimes. Listen to what the Believer Study Bible commentary says about Romans 3:25. Theologians have debated the proper translation and consequent meaning of hilasterion. That's the Greek, which is translated here as propitiation or mercy seat. There are actually some translations that actually render it as mercy seat right there in that verse. Roman mythology and Greek mythology pictured capricious gods with flaky temperaments more unsettled than those of mortals. These gods, these Roman mythological gods and Greek mythological gods, had to have their anger assuaged and appeased by costly sacrifices. Liberal theologians, uncomfortable with the concepts of wrath and judgment and hell, theologians of a more liberal perspective have imagined that propitiation is a translation that relegates theology to the mythology of the Greeks and slanders the character of God. They advocate expiation as the proper translation of hilasterion and define the word as forgiveness in terms of cancellation of sins. Even though expiation is certainly included in hilasterion, in no sense is it an adequate translation. Here, the translators of the New King James Version are precisely correct in rendering the word propitiation. The difference between the doctrines of propitiation in Christianity and the doctrines of propitiation in Greek mythology is bound up, the difference between those two is bound up in the character of God himself. Being holy, perfect, and immutable, that means unchangeable. The living God is never ruled by changing moods. Consequently, God's wrath is a settled disposition against evil. Compare this with chapter 1 and verse 18 and chapter 2 and verse 5 of the same book, Romans. The just demands of God's holiness for the punishment and exclusion of sin must be satisfied. Propitiation is the work of Christ on the cross, in which he met the demands of the righteousness of God against sin, both satisfying the requirements of God's justice and canceling the guilt of man. Propitiation is the proper word. The wrath of God abides on anyone who stands on their own righteousness. The wrath of God abides on any sinner who stands before God trying to cover himself with his fig leaves of modesty and his fig leaves of altruism and his fig leaves of religion and his fig leaves, his fig leaf bikini of self-righteousness. The wrath of God is on that man. It's like Adam and Eve. God said, come here. You got to take those fig leaves off. I'm going to give you a leather coat that'll cover you. And that leather coat is going to come from an innocent animal. The animal didn't sin. You did. But I'm going to kill him instead of killing you. And when his blood is shed, then you'll be covered. Everything I do, it's not because I'm trying to earn my way into heaven. The blood of Jesus Christ is my only claim to salvation. It is my only claim to salvation. The holiness of God in Jesus Christ, the propitiation, is my only claim to salvation. I don't live right trying to earn God's goodness. I don't live right trying to earn salvation. I live right because of God's salvation. I told you I was going to prove it to you. I'm coming around to that. Romans chapter, I'm not to it yet though. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9 says, much more then, being now justified by my good lifestyle. It's not what it says, is it? Much more then, being now justified by all the good things I do. It's not what it says, is it? Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You can read that in as many Bible translations as you want to, and it's worded just the same. Ephesians 1 and 7 says, in whom, talking about in Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption, that is being bought back to God. Adam sold us into slavery. Adam and Eve sold us into slavery. Jesus came to buy us back. And in him, we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You can read that one in as many Bible translations as you want to, and it comes up the same. And almost all things, Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Now, if you read this one in the NIV, it says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14 says, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. Let me back up just a little bit. There was a bunch of people in white robes. And the angel said to him, who do you think these people are? And he said, sir, you know who they are. He said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. A little more often, we need to sing, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm glad Sister Joseph, she mixes it up and she sings some new ones and she sings some old ones. And I'm telling you folks, there's some old ones we need to never stop singing. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm a holiness preacher, and I believe it's holiness or hell. I believe unholiness can earn you a place in hell. But hear me, folks, the holiness we stand in better not be our own. We better be standing in the holiness of Jesus Christ that was afforded to us by the propitiation because he shed his blood. I'm not sure I can find exactly where they got Bible for it, but the old timers had some stuff that was right. And the old timers used to plead the blood. Anybody here ever pleaded the blood? The devil's trying to get my kids. I plead the blood of Jesus over my kids. The devil's trying to ruin my finances. I plead the blood of Jesus over my finances. My carnal nature's all out of whack, and it's trying to mess me up in my walk with God. I plead the blood of Jesus over myself.
I plead the blood of Jesus. You ought to stand up and say it. I plead the blood of Jesus. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it is by His blood. It is by His blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. Yes, yes, the devil thought he was going to wreck Christian Apostolic Church, but the blood of Jesus was standing in the way. Yes, he told you your kids were going to backslide, but the blood of Jesus is on those kids and is standing in the way. Because he can't come through the blood. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. There was a lot of minerals and dirt that come down in the Red Sea. It was red like blood. There's a symbol there. See, God's people can pass through the blood and get to the other side. But what happens when the enemy tries to chase you through the blood? He gets drowned and he sinks to the bottom like a stone. God drops him like a rock. You need to tell the devil. Anybody ever see those martial arts movies when the guy, woo! You need to, sometime you need to look at the devil like that and say, listen, devil, I'm not fighting you in my own strength. I'm like little bitty David standing before the giant. You come at me with carnality. You come at me with temptations. You come at me with addictions. You come at me with swords and spears. But I come against you in the name of the Lord and by His shed blood. Sometime when you're having trouble, you ought to look at the devil and just say, woo! Hey, say, come on, devil, because there's something between me and you. It's a line from Calvary. It flows from Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you try to come through it, you're going down like a rock. Hey, man, y'all sit down just for a minute. I got a little tiny bit more preaching. I'm telling you where the blast zone is and where it is not. Find what the blood of Jesus covers, and you have found what is outside the blast zone. And go outside what the blood of Jesus covers, and you are now in the blast zone. You don't need AT&T to understand that. If you're not standing on Jesus Christ and the shed blood of Calvary, you are in the blast zone. And you're about to be the news. I'm not saying that nothing bad ever happens to godly people. And I'm not saying that nothing good ever happens to ungodly people. But I'm telling you, folks, there is something powerful about how the culture of godliness embedded into a blood-washed saint prevents a world of catastrophe that would have happened had they not been blood-bought and indoctrinated in a godly biblical culture and a godly biblical worldview. Your worldview matters. Let me tell you how swiftly things are eroding. Remember, I talked about how man changes. Just 8 years ago in California, they had a proposition to outlaw so-called same-sex marriage. A marriage is a lifelong covenant of companionship and faithfulness between a man and a woman. Did you know in the Greek, you can't say wife without saying woman? It's impossible. And in Greek, you can't say woman without saying wife. It's impossible. Because wife and woman are the same word. You can't stand before Adam and Steve and say,
is Steve going to be your wife? Because the word wife means woman. Amen. And in the same sense, Adam, the very first husband, his name was Adam, and the word Adam means man. All you got to do is look to the Bible and see that a husband is supposed to be a man, and a wife is supposed to be a woman. It's so simple. And that's why I try to never say same-sex marriage without putting the word so-called in front of it. That ain't a marriage. It's some kind of ungodly, unholy partnership, and they want to stick the word marriage onto it. That requires a radical redefinition of the word. 8 years ago, they came up with a proposition, Prop 22, to outlaw it, and it passed by the people. 61% majority. The liberal legislate from the bench judges in California threw out what the people said. They just overturned it. They just said it's not constitutional. They just threw it out. So you know what the people of California did? They said, okay, if you judges are saying that's not constitutional, we'll just go change our state constitution. Then let's see you call it unconstitutional. We'll put it in the constitution. That will make it constitutional. So they went back. That was 8 years ago. This is 8 years later. Proposition 8 had the same goal as the one 8 years ago, but it made it constitutional. That was the difference. But in only 8 years, the percentage of support eroded from 61% down to 52%. Because you've had 8 years of a new batch of worldly-minded graduates enter into the culture and enter into the mindset, and 8 years of the older generation die off, and the worldview that is being put into them. Did you know that many, many Christians in California are calling for an exodus from the government school system? They are calling for an exodus. They are absolutely telling their church people, you have got to get your kids out of the public school. Everything outside of the blood of Jesus is the blast zone. And we are standing in a culture that is about to be blasted. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about the moral purity of a blood-washed Christian. And in particular, he talks about how that a blood-washed Christian avoids sexual impurity, sexual sin. And when he describes why we do it, he makes clear that it is not to earn our salvation, but it is because we're already saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 15, says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh." This, by the way, is one of the strongest ways we know that the legal ceremony, when the preacher says amen, although it is an important part of marriage, the actual consummation of the marriage is the marriage act. Because the Apostle Paul says here that the marriage
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.